This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WW Today Podcast, and with me on today's show is blogger and runner extraordinaire Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
I am, probably at about 50% today, which is good.
Because,
you know, it's how I look at it. Sometimes the glass is half full and sometimes it's half empty.
But Mike, I have another shout out today. And this one is to the state of Georgia. We have a friend of ours who just qualified for the Boston Marathon. And his name is Eddie McCoy. And we are so proud of him. And he is just an amazing, amazing story. Hopefully we'll have him on the podcast someday. But he's been running for about
a year.
Yeah, a year. I was going to have you guess. Yeah, I know you know him. So he's been running for a year. So from us at Mickey Miles to the state of Georgia at Eddie McCoy, congratulations, Eddie.
Yeah, congratulations, Eddie.
That's pretty cool. Also, you heard the golden tones of Steve Bernhardt from SockGeek.com and Capital City Runnings. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Excellent, Mike and Michelle. Good to be here. It sounds like you're both in good spirits this evening.
Doing great.
Good spirits, too. This is a question show, and we're trying to always do the best job we can in answering questions that are posed to us on the Facebook page or at questions@MickeyMousePodcast.com. And we have several today that we're going to address. The first one, I think I'm going to let Michelle take a crack at this one. It's from, let me make sure I have the name right, Marcy West from Syracuse, New York. And Marcy says, "Hello, Mickey Miles gang. I'm Marcy West from Syracuse, New York. And I recently ran my first 5K at Disney World in the Happy Halloween Trail Run. This was huge for me because I've never been an athletic person, and I'm still on a runner's high from it all. Now that I'm back in the real world, I want to keep my running momentum going, but unfortunately, I won't be able to sign up for any Disney runs in the near future. What can I do to keep the running excitement going here at home? Thank you so much, and I can't wait to hear more." So, Michelle?
Sure. Well, first of all, Marcy, congratulations. That's wonderful news. And you are one of the groups of people who we really want to listen to this podcast and keep running. So I think that's great. So I'm giving you a virtual high five. I love this question because I think everybody who's listening to this podcast has that feeling, okay, I ran my race, I'm home. Ugh, now I have to think about when's the next time I can go back. So I have a few ideas, and I'm sure my friends here have some other ideas. The first thing I would do is, and I always do this on the way back on the plane, is to start thinking about my next trip. So start planning your next trip. Think about what's coming up and what you might want to do. And if you're ready to maybe go to a longer distance, maybe try the Tower Terra 10-miler. Or if you're ready for a half marathon, you can put your sights on that. But to keep you motivated to do Disney races, there are a few things that I would do. I like to listen to Disney music. So I like to listen to all my favorites from the different movies, and I kind of mix those in with my playlist, and it just makes me think of Disney races, and that's really, really fun. I also think if you have a goal like that and you're thinking of a Disney race in the future, tell folks that, you know, I just came back from this race, but up next year I'm going to do this 5K, or next year I'm going to do this half marathon, and get your friends and family talking about it with you. I like to read Disney blogs. There are a lot of people who blog about running Disney. If you just look on Twitter and do hashtag run Disney or Disney running, you'll see a lot of wonderful people who do blogs about it. And I think that another thing to do is to listen to our podcast. Hopefully it'll keep you going. We'll be there in between the races to give you information and keep you going. Mike, what do you do to get ready for the next one and keep yourself motivated?
Well, what I've learned is that you really can't take too much time off after a race, because it would be like starting all over again. So what I try to do is I try to think about what worked well in my last race, what did not work well, what areas could I improve upon, and that's what gets me excited, because if I can pinpoint those areas, I then look forward to training. I then look forward to trying things. I then look forward to seeing what I can do to improve my my way of running. So I think that that's important. I think, Marcy, that I would say what Michelle said. I was thinking about this when she said it. You know, check the previous, if you haven't listened to the previous show, we talk about what's coming up in the Run Disney calendar. Think about when you possibly could take another trip, and, you know, maybe you could make your next vacation a run vacation and take another shot at maybe a different 5K, or maybe set your sights at something higher. I think that what you always should try to keep in mind is what our friend Joe Terracani says: when you become a runner and when you cross that finish line for the first time, your life will never be the same. Your life changes forever, and you know what it feels like to do that accomplishment. And congratulations on your happy Halloween trail run. So I think that, you know, just think about that. Put a carrot in front of your face. Put something that's going to make you want to continue. What kind of benefit are you getting? You feeling better about yourself? You feeling healthier? That should be motivation. Steve, I'm going to turn it over to you now for your comments.
Yeah, Marcy, a couple of things that I thought about. One is you might have some other races in your general area, and I've heard of people that are fans of Run Disney getting together and running other runs as fans of Run Disney, but not in a non-Disney event. So that might be an opportunity to get around people, like-minded people that are excited about running the Disney events, but there's not one going on, or they can't travel to one, then they run a more of a community race or a race closer to home. Or, you know, another thought I had too is, you know, if you're looking for something to kind of, you know, wrap your arms around to give your running some purpose, that type of thing, you know, maybe there's another, you know, cause that might interest you. You know, it might be the animal shelter, or it might be, you know, some other charitable organization out there that you could, you know, run for, you know, and do some local runs, that type of thing, and raise funds or raise awareness, those types of things. So if you're looking for something, I know it's not Disney, but if you're looking for something to kind of give your running some purpose, that might be something to look into. You might find there's another you know, another catalyst out there that to get you excited about your running.
I really love that idea, Steve, because I'm so glad you brought that up, because I've met people through the Disney running community, many, many people in New England, and we have met to go on do all sorts of different races around the New England area. So I think that's a great idea. Tell your friends on Facebook that you're running this local race, or tell people on the Mickey Miles Facebook page. And it's amazing. Runners are just so generous and helpful and kind and fun to hang around with. So I agree that that's just get the word out there. You'll meet other people who run Disney races and be able to hang around with them. It's really fun. The other thing I wanted to say too is, if you have, you know, if your next vacation isn't for a year or 2 years, I would sit down and write down what your goals are. Really make a plan and think about how you're going to reach that goal. So if your plan is to do your 5K maybe a little bit faster, or to do it with somebody in your family, I know I ran one with my son, it was really, really fun. Or if your plan is to go a longer distance, sit down and write down your goal and then what it's going to take to get you to your goal. So maybe every month you up your mileage a half a mile, or maybe you you know, you try strength training or cross training. I think it's helpful to have things written down too. And then I say just tell everybody to support you. But I think there's a lot of motivation out there on the web and through friends to get you ready for your next Disney race. What do you think, Mike?
Well, the thing that I wanted to finish off with, I think I agree with what you said 100%, Michelle. One more thing that I wanted to mention to Marcy. I mean, living in New Hampshire, we know that October, November, December, and January become very, very challenging months to continue the running. One thing I want you to do, Marcy, is that to keep the momentum going, you need to always work your hardest to find something in your schedule that says, I can run at this time. As the winter gets its clutches on New York, New England, whatever, it's very hard to run outside. So I would suggest running indoors. I know that I joined our local Y, and if it gets really bad, I run indoors. It's 8 laps per mile, so it's really it's brutal. So last winter it wasn't too bad. There wasn't much snow on the ground, so I was able to run outside quite a bit. But
we just have to fly to Austin and do some of our long runs in Austin with
Steve. There you go. There you go. Come on down to Town Lake in January when you guys have got 10 feet of snow. We'll have beautiful running weather.
We don't have 10 feet of snow. It's not that bad. Maybe 5 feet.
More like
maybe
20.
5.
Well, that takes care of Marcy.
Oh, I was going to say one last thing for Marcy is sure. Marcy, enjoy the ride. You know, the first couple of years when you start a running program is when you make some of your greatest strides. So I think just some of the accomplishments that you're going to have over the next, you know, couple of years, if you continue with your running program, I think those in themselves will keep you motivated and excited about your running.
I hope that. Marcy, I hope those answers are going to help you and keep up the good work and let us keep us informed as to what your successes are, because I think you sound like you're really excited about running, and we're excited for you. So the next question, I think Mr. Steve's going to be a good person to turn to for this one. It comes from Joseph R. Kalinske, and Joseph says, I love the new show. I'm a pretty seasoned marathoner, and I'd like to ask you about running a night race. I just ran the Tower of Terror 10-miler. And my next Disney race is the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. I've struggled with timing of eating and resting while the temptation of the parks is right outside my hotel room door. So keep up the fantastic work. So Steve, I'm going to turn to you because I know that you've run several night races. And can you talk about the differences and what you have to adjust to when you go from a day race to a night race?
Sure. You know, a couple of things. I mean, obviously you've got that that body clock, you know. I mean, it's used to winding down at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, for example. So you definitely have to rewire your brain to be comfortable, you know, running at that time of night. And really about the only way to do that is to get out and do some running at that time of night. You know, once you kind of start to train, after a couple of runs, if I'm doing a long distance run where we're going to be running through the night, usually if I run two or three runs fairly close to the race at that night, at night or into the evening, it really makes a big, big difference. So that's something I would do. Another thing that I have found is a couple of things. One is keep your calories, you know, concentration of calories high. You know, if you start to kind of lose your energy at night, I think if you kind of keep yourself fed and your energy stores high, you can work through those evening kind of lulls that that you often get. You know, also don't underestimate caffeine. Caffeine can be very helpful. You know, gels with caffeine are definitely a lifesaver running at night and fighting off fatigue. You know, it's not so much the caffeine is there to give you some kind of a performance benefit, but it's there to give you that mental acuity. I'm not a big coffee drinker, but, you know, one or two gels with some caffeine in it will definitely shake off, you know, that kind of that feeling at night, kind of listlessness that you can get. I think the next big challenge running at night, too, is getting used to what I call running in the tunnel. You know, at night, you're usually whatever light you have, that's what you're running in, but everything else around it's dark. And that takes a little bit of acclimatization to do that. So, you know, it's not complicated, but if I give somebody some advice to be successful running at night is, you know, keep your fuel stores high, you know, and take a little caffeine and do a couple of practice runs. And you'll be surprised how quickly those couple of pieces will make you successful running, you know, at a time in the evening when you're not usually accustomed to doing so.
So, Steve, when you talk about your calories, what sort of calories are you having for your night races?
You know, if I'm doing a long distance trail race, I mean, that's the kind of the food that I'm eating there. And it's a fair amount of protein. I'm starting to believe in taking in more protein for these longer races. You know, I use a lot of gels. You know, it's quick energy. They settle well with me. I enjoy gels, so I use a lot of gels. You know, I've taken a lot of calories, liquid calories, using things like CarboPro, which is a glucose polymer. It's a pure maltodextrin, so it doesn't have any real flavor to it, but it's real high-impact calories.
Is that something that you have at your running store?
Yeah. We carry CarboPro. I'll tell you, it's a product that if there's people out there, to kind of maybe do a kind of a sidestep here, if there's people out there that are having problems with things like gels and chews and those types of things and getting enough calories, look at a product like CarboPro. I mean, like I said, it's a pure maltodextrin. There's no flavor to it. And it's something you can put directly into water, or it's something you can mix with. I use Goo Roctane, the drink mix, and that's 20-ounce bottle. That's about 230 calories. I'll put another 1 to 2 scoops of CarboPro in, so that's another 200 calories. So I'll have like a 400-plus calorie bottle, 22-ounce bottle. And I'll work that, mix it with a water bottle, and maybe I'll work that over, an hour and a half to 2 hours. So I'm getting, because I try to get at least 300 calories an hour in.
And so you're drinking this as you're running?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're carrying a hand bottle or a waist belt or something like that, you can put together a bottle with at least 400 or 500 calories in it, so you don't have to mess with gels, those types of things, to get the calories you need to be successful.
And can you have too much caffeine when you're running these night races?
You can. I guess it all depends on what kind of caffeine you're consuming. You know what I mean? The stuff in the gels is very minute. It's like less than a third of a cup of coffee. I'm not a big coffee drinker, but I've never had any problems with jitters or anything like that with caffeine. There's some concerns people have sometimes of it being a diuretic, caffeine being a diuretic. I don't think we're not consuming it in that kind of quantities. We're usually accompanying it with, other fluids. So I don't think any kind of dehydration issues due to caffeine is really a concern at all. But, it's saved me quite a few times. There's been a couple times where I've been in some of these races at night where I'm literally like almost asleep on my feet and hit a couple of, if I can give a shout out to Goo, chocolate outrage gels, they'll wake me right up and I'll be ready to go. So if you're going to run one of those night races, guys, and you need just that little extra edge, have a Goo chocolate gel, maybe about 10, 15 minutes before the race. That will spark you up enough to shake off that night, fatigue that you might have.
Oh, I guess I thought Michelle was going to jump in. I want to touch upon what you said, Steve, about how it works for you to get used to running at night. Maybe as you get close to the race, to do that. But I wanted to, getting back to Joe's question, one of the things that if Joe was to take that advice, then yep. Let's say, I guess it would depend upon where he's, I don't know where he is from, but depending upon Wine and Dine, I guess if he's at home, he could run at night. The Tower of Terror, the Wine and Dine begins at around 10 o'clock at night. So he would have to do that after work. I don't know if his schedule would be that way, but here's a thought, Joe, that if you came down, let's say 3 or 4 days before the race, and you stayed at, and I would strongly suggest either a moderate or a value to do something like this. Port Orleans is a good place. Coronado Springs is okay. Caribbean is okay. All Stars, probably the better of the two, or the three, I guess, because now we've got, what's the other one called? Out of Animation. All Star Sports is a very good place to run at night. What you may want to consider, Joe, is going down 2 or 3 nights before the race and maybe thinking about that, running at night in those areas. And not much, maybe an hour, just so that your body gets in tune with that. Now, with that comes also the other part of that equation, and that is you have to figure out what to do at the parks. You have to figure out, and like you said, I've struggled with the timing of eating and resting while Temptation of the Parks is right outside my hotel room door. So Michelle, I'm going to turn to you and thinking about if Joe's going to run at night, How should the rest of his day go? And let's say 2 or 3 days before the race. What do you think would help him handle that night race as far as touring the parks and everything?
It's so tricky. I think what I would do is try to make that race the beginning of my vacation so that I would know that after the race I'd have time to walk around. But I think for me anyway, 2 days before, I can still do my regular Disney day. The day before, I feel like it's okay to maybe do a little tiny bit of walking around in the morning, but by about noon, go home, go back to the hotel, take a nap, get off my feet completely until it's time to get ready and go for the race. When you have a morning race, you have 8 hours or maybe 7 hours of sleep before you get up and start moving. And I would kind of try to plan a nighttime race that way to make sure that you have as many hours as you can before you get up and do that race. What about you, Mike? What do you think?
I think that I'm going to touch upon what you said. So I would do this. I would suggest this, Joe. I would plan my and you probably already have your plan set up, so this probably doesn't help you, but for the future anyways. So let's say the race is on a Saturday night. I would arrive at Walt Disney World either late Wednesday or Thursday. I would gradually shift my schedule the first 3 days, and I would run that Thursday night, and I would run that Friday night, but I mean, not much, maybe 5K, maybe a 5K on a Thursday and a 5K on the Friday. You know, you want to save your legs, and I would go to the parks early on that Friday morning, and on that Saturday morning, go early but by all means, you want to take whatever you can get out of that first 4 or 5 hours at the parks, and then take it easy. And then with Michelle said, maybe have a 3 or 4 days Disney vacation after the race. You want to wear your medals in the park. You want to be able to eat whatever you want to eat. You want to enjoy it, especially during the Wine and Dine, I think, is over the day or two after. Food and Wine is over about a day or two after the actual marathon. But I think Michelle's point is well taken. Try to shift your vacation so that you can enjoy the parks, you can enjoy the restaurants afterwards. So I'm going to turn to Steve. Anything else, Steve, before we wrap this up?
Well, just one thought, you know, and this is something that always, when I always talk to people about Disney races, is the expectations of performance. And what I mean by that is personally, I've always gone down to run Disney races, have tempered my expectation of my performance, just because I just know that the setting down there is, you know, I'm going to burn up my legs in the parks, and, you know, my food's going to be off schedule, and I'm probably not going to sleep all that great, and everything's going to, you know, come apart on me while I'm down there. So that's always been a big challenge for me, is performing at a higher level of expectation. So talking, or the gentleman that asked the question here, as an experienced runner, I think that really what it comes down to. You know, if he's experienced runner and he goes down there and it's just about having fun and it's just about running the half marathon with no expectations of any kind of finishing time, you know, then I say, you know, get some good food, you know, maybe kick your feet up for a little bit shortly before the race, but go out there and just have fun, you know. And so I guess it really comes down to the preparation, comes down to what your expectations are for performance. And like I said, not to, you know, beat a dead horse, but I said, that's always, to me, is one of the biggest challenges when you go down there, and is that, you know, running your best race down there can be awfully, awfully difficult to do, given all of the different circumstances that we've talked about.
Steve, do you think in general that people try to go for PRs on night races?
Well, you know, it's each individual. You know what I mean? You know, and a lot of these events are first time events and that kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe you're trying to. I guess maybe to answer your question, maybe more directly and personal. I saw what the guy that won my age group at Tower of Terror ran. So I'm thinking next year about taking a shot at that. So maybe you do come down there with little expectation at times for performance or personal bests. But it's hard. It really is hard. You know, it's no matter how well you plan and how much discipline you have going down there. To me, like I said, that was the great Disney dilemma in running, is going down there and running at your best, because it's just hard to do given given all the distractions and things that go on while you're down there. So it makes it the greatest place to run, and it's a heck of a lot of fun. That's why we're obviously here talking about it. But you know, running really, it being satisfied with your race sometimes down there is kind of hard to do, from based on the experiences that I've had.
I think that you're right. I think that there were times. I think the first Wine and Dine that we did, Michelle, I remember saying to myself, you know, I think I'm gonna see if I can do something with this. And then running at night, and it was so crowded, and running through the Animal Kingdom, and it was like all these little twists and turns, and it was really cutting into what you could do. And plus the fact that your body clock, it never can switch as fast as you would like it to switch. So unfortunately, it's very, very tough. I think we just lost Steve. Michelle, are you there? Steve,
yeah,
are you still there?
I'm here. So I think he made a great point. You're there to have fun at Disney. So I think for the vast majority of us, we're not going to go for a PR for that race, a personal record for that race. So.
Well, that does about it for our question show. I want to thank Michelle and Steve, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Steve Bernhardt for all their answers. And actually, before we go, Steve, are you still there?
Yeah, I did. Somehow I cut out for a second, but I'm back.
Before we started recording the show, you had mentioned to Michelle and myself about something that you would like to do for our listeners who send in questions. So I'm gonna turn it over to you, and I think everybody'd be pretty excited what you're gonna say, but I'm gonna turn it over to you.
Yeah, I think you know, obviously we want this show to be driven by, you know, fans of Disney running, and questions are really gonna, you know, drive what we do, and to try to kind of encourage people and maybe reward people for sending in questions, is we'd like to do maybe a question. We're going to pick a question each week that we do a question and answer show, and that person is going to receive a pair of custom logo socks from sockgeek.com. So please send in your questions. And I wish I could send a pair out to every person, but we're going to try to pick a person each week we do the question and answer shows. And you know, we'll send out a pair of socks, and what we'll need is your shoe size and your address. And I think Mike's going to tell you how you can get that information to us if you're chosen to get a pair of Sock Geek socks.
That's great, Steve. And Sock Geek socks. I like that. Sock Geek socks. So, you know, as we always say, the conversation continues on the Facebook page, Mickey Mouse Podcast. And you can also hear us on You can also follow us on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. But the questions that we want you to send to us are best sent to questions at MickeyMilesPodcast.com. And again, thanks to the gracious Steve Bernhardt, we love to call Sock Geek. We will pick a question of the week every time we do a question show, and that person will be the recipient of some special socks, the courtesy of Steve Bernhardt and Sock Geek. So with that, I'm going to thank Michelle Scribner-McLean and Steve Bernhardt for joining me on this episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. And we hope we answered your questions, Marcy and Joseph and everyone. Keep those questions coming. And also, don't forget, you can also suggest some topics on the Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook page. So this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying, until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.